We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy. We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Hello. Well, there's a first for everything, and my connection went away. Paula, are you responsible for that?
Sorry. Yeah, I just stopped time.
Well, I think you probably did it because you're trying to regain control of the show. Is that the case?
No, I'm actually just practicing stopping time, and I slipped.
Well, that was really a very weird experience to have my connection cut off. But I'd like to say welcome to you and to everyone who's listening, if in fact they are. This is the show that tries to prove its premise wrong. So, Paula, I take it you heard our new opening. What did you think of it?
I thought it was actually it's better than I thought it was going to be, because I listened to something the other night that I thought was the intro, the new intro to the show, and I gasped in horror.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to say what it was, but it was.
Well, did you hear our awesome pretty jingle? Is that what you were gasping at?
No, it wasn't that. I haven't heard that yet.
The other jingle, the Brodafin jingle.
So we've got. I'm not going to tell you what it was. I don't think it was a jingle. I'm done. Done with that.
Well,
enough said. I'm
you know
not
going
to incriminate anybody further, myself or anyone else. Fifth.
Well, you know what? We've gone big time. We really have. So,
I feel the bigness. I feel the hugeosity.
What I have to do now is kind of recover from the very fact that I was cut off, completely disconnected from my own show. I have to recover and, you know, show a little poise, almost impossible to do. The thing is, you know, this is talk radio, and talk radio is supposed to be shocking, and that was pretty shocking. But today, we're going to do something even more shocking. We're going to try to be relevant. Yes, for the first time in the very history of this show, we're going to try to be relevant. And our guest today, you've already heard from her, is actually the history of the show, because it's Paula Kelly, the fabulous composer, singer, and comedian who was the very first host of Women Are Not Funny. And today, in our shockingly relevant conversation, we're going to be talking with Paula about video, and essentially video content, because she is truly an expert. we're going to be talking about three things, and those of you who are listening carefully know that I have been advised by any number of coaches and advisors to this show that I should always, at the very beginning, tell you those three things that you're going to hear, so you'll want to stick around to hear them. Thing number one, we're going to be talking about mother-friendly content and what that really means. Thing number two, we're going to be talking about video, a brief history of video, as Paula Kelly has actually lived it. And since we're talking about relevance, we're going to be talking about the role of relevance in video content. And thing number three, and this is probably the most important thing, we're going to be talking about how to do video if the camera doesn't love you. I want to know from Paula, is there a way to make the camera love you? Because the camera definitely loves Paula. So, first, though, let's say a formal hello, even though we've already spoken. Hello, Paula.
Hi, Kay. Thanks for having me on the show. Feels like home.
Well, it is your home, Paula. In the first place, not only were you the first host of this show, but you're also a regularly featured guest, and that's for good reason, because you have so many things to tell us about showbiz.
I do. It's true. And may I just interject that I just find it delightful that problems is interrupting people and cutting people off, and you were so concerned that I was going to interrupt you, and in fact you actually got cut off by by nothing before I even had a chance to cut you off.
Well, so, one of the things that we discussed, yes, before the show, is the fact that you and I are very good at talking over each other.
It's one of our many joint talents.
Yes, and it's very enjoyable. But one thing that we have to be concerned about is that Women Are Not Funny has really stepped up, and we have a first-rate production assistant. She's actually soon to be an accidental lawyer herself. She is a law student in the Philippines, and she's so delightful and so much fun. Her name is Faith Goh, and she is now doing transcripts of all of our conversations. So it's important. Well, see there, Paula, we cannot talk over each other, because what will Faith think? Now,
that was an outburst of sympathy. Oh.
Here is something that I think is funny. I asked you if we could play one of your wonderful songs, and you said, sure. And you offered up one that I really love. And the name of it is You Gonna Make It. That's You Gonna Make It. What is ironic, Paula, is that just yesterday, Faith and I had a conversation, and I told her that her transcripts are just so beautifully done, and that I had no recommendations or complaints whatsoever, but for one, that on occasion, when I or one of the guests says, gonna, that she just go ahead and type going to and pretend like we had good diction. And so ironically, then you offer up the song, I'm gonna make it.
Yeah.
She may be
it can happen.
She may be just a little confused by this. So, you know, we're going to have to see what happens. But I'm going to play it now and let everyone enjoy it. And then you can tell us where it came from and how it happened. So, You Gonna Make It by Paula Kelly.
Question mark. You're going to make it question mark.
Oh, Paula, I cannot hear that song without picturing you on its video in your little pink silk suit and your little stilettos doing a dance.
Yeah, it's in the video, it's there are a lot of knees dancing around.
So that song is available on iTunes, Amazon M3, and when did you write it and record it?
I wrote this song probably around 2001, which is when I recorded. This was on my first solo album, which is called Nothing, Everything. I had been in bands. I mean, I've been in bands since I can remember. And usually I was the sole songwriter or the main songwriter, but I'd never had the confidence to strike out on my own and just go by my own name. Finally, I did. And here is a representation of that. So, and this song is about, it happens to be about just barely scraping the confidence together, but still having self-doubt.
Well, I love the song, and I actually had something of an epiphany as I was listening to it just now. Paula, you know that one of the projects that my company has under development is a multimedia publishing project of the story of the Little Red Hen. And it actually goes pretty well with that story, don't you think?
No. Now that you mention it. Wait, am I the chicken or the egg? Wait, or the bread? Am I the bread?
Am I leavened or unleavened? No. I think you are the content. I think you are the composer. So, speaking of, though, mothers, mother-friendly content, you know, we've been talking about that ever since we started this show, that whole concept. And part of the reason is that occasionally, just occasionally, your language gets a little blue.
Streakishly blue. Yes. Mother-friendly content is not one of my fortes, or was not one of my fortes, and I did learn that the hard way. Even though I am 30 years old, I have a mother, and I still like to behave in front of my mother on occasion. And my mother is not somebody who I envision being able to use a computer. Now, I have this series of videos on YouTube. I have a lot of videos, like the video for this song, You Gonna Make It, which actually has a question mark after it, expressing my but I have a series of videos called Ask PK, and people would send in questions, and I would answer them in my own sort of churlish way, and, you know, I would use colorful language often. The questions would contain colorful language, and once people understood how it worked, how I worked, and how they would probably receive a lashing from me if they, you know, didn't ask the right way or use proper grammar, and sometimes they were probably looking for a lashing from me because, you know, people are strange like that. So, yes, I had all these videos that I would curse people out for this and that, or I would, you know, sometimes I would just use one of, you know, the seven words you can't use on TV as an adjective, or as some people use like, I would use maybe, oh.
Another word.
Yeah.
You'd use another word.
Okay, so one day, I got this call from my mother, and she said, "Paula, I was just, I was cruising around the internet. Oh, really? That's great, Mom. And oh, I was on YouTube. You know what YouTube is, Mom? You know how to use YouTube? Oh, that's great, Mom. That's when I found these videos of you. Ask PK." Oh, and there is when my heart went into my stomach. I felt it plunge. "You're really funny. You're really great and funny, but do you have to be so rude?" And, well, that's kind of my persona there you know, I didn't, and she, and I thought maybe that was all it was going to be, but you have to be so lewd. Well, you know, maybe I don't have to be, but I want to be, or, you know, hey, Mom, you know, I've been out of the house since I was 13 years old. You know, I really like this, but, you know, he said this and that, and do you have to do that, and why did you do this, and was it really necessary to do that, and my God, would you blah, 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 and it turned into this whole, like, all right, my mom's going to yell at me. I'm in my 30s, and my mother's yelling at me about my YouTube content. My mom was barely, like, I didn't know shit. And I'm just like, is this happening? Is this happening? And at the same time, I was mortified. Like, my mother saw these, like, horrible, I mean, she's like, yes, you're really funny. You're really good, but you have to do this. And I got off the phone with her, and I was actually, like, curled up in a ball because my mother yelled at me about my YouTube videos.
Paula, darling, it was just waiting to happen. You know, I mean, there's no way around it. Now, I'm a huge fan of the Ask PK series. And to me, the upsetting part of that story was you talked about it so much in the past tense. I hope that we'll have another episode.
You will. I went through a bit of a metamorphosis over the last few months. I moved house. I had to work this bizarre job, which is, some people would consider it a normal job, but to me it was bizarre. 9 to 6 for a few months. I mean, that's just, those aren't my hours. I'm more like a noon to 3 a.m. kind of girl. It just really threw me off. But I'm settling back into my normal rhythm of things. But yes, I've actually been making preparations to do another Ask PK. But I mean, yeah, so the mother friend, like, it's amazing. I am a grown woman and I can still be just like whittled down, dressed down by a lashing from my mother.
Well, one thing about it though, Paula, you know, like I said, that was just waiting to happen. I mean, one of the things that I enjoy about SPK is that it is decidedly not mother-friendly.
But so not mother-friendly.
What I have learned is that phrase, perhaps the meaning of it should be enlarged, because even though I am very careful not to use language that a mother, my mother, would find objectionable, I learned recently that something I said on the show was not mother-friendly.
This very show.
This very show. And I was surprised. I was surprised. But I thought that today, since you'd had that non-mother-friendly experience, you'd be a little empathic towards me, and this would be a good time for me to try to correct things.
Yes, let's try.
Well, you know how a newspaper usually has someone who is there to settle disputes and to correct things that were written incorrectly? Perhaps
the ombudsman.
Exactly. Exactly.
You thought I wouldn't know ombudsman. Of course I know what that is.
I would ask you if you would kind of play that role today for Women Are Not Funny. I mean, you've been the host. Now you could be our, yes?
Ombudsman.
Thank you. I just don't even trust myself to say it, Paula. I have it written here on one of my post-its, and I can't find it. So anyway, this is what happened. For my mother's birthday, on her birthday on April 23rd of 2010, just a few months ago, we had as our show a special edition devoted to celebrating her birthday. And I had as my guest, I had the female members of our family. And I thought it was something that would just please her and delight her. Well, as it happened, It did, except for two things. And so this is what we need to settle today. Paula, even without being vulgar, I upset her because you know what I did? I told our audience that my mother had encouraged me when we were driving together and she was being my backseat driver, that she had encouraged me to speed up ahead and cut people off.
Mm-hmm. Which is
funny. So you see, that was not mother-friendly content. And apparently, you know, she'd kind of like me to correct things, and so apparently my mother is encouraging me to lie.
Ah. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to say it or lie about it. You could just not say it.
Yeah, but see, this is the point. I've already said it. I said it on April 23rd.
Oh.
And you see, my mother is a go-go girl, you know. She has a few years on her, but she likes to go. She likes to go. She likes to drive fast. She likes to be fast. She likes to, you know. And so it was kind of funny to me to be driving her around. We were just, you know, on probably a shopping expedition, or maybe we went to lunch. I don't recall the exact occasion, but she said, you know, if you'll go over in the right lane, you can, when the light changes, you can speed on up ahead and then move quickly into the left lane. Now, the way I defined it, that's cutting someone off. But not only did my mother direct me to do that, she has no recollection of it. She thinks I must be totally mistaken. So, you know, how do you think we can settle this? You know, because that my point is, do not have to be vulgar to have mother unfriendly content. You just have
There are plenty of ways to offend one's mother. You're right. Absolutely right.
Exactly. Vulgarity is not the only way you can offend your mother. There are so many ways. So how do you think I can...
Is she still holding a grudge about this?
Apparently so. You know, she said, I liked the show. I listened to the recording. I was very pleased, except that. And then she, you know, she complained. Mm.
So she didn't want to be represented in a way that seemed like she was encouraging you to do something semi-illegal.
Right. So what do you think would solve the problem? What if I apologized? Do you think if I just made a public apology?
You can't unsay what's been said.
Mm-hmm.
You could either apologize or lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you lie, now everybody's going to know you're lying because we're saying it right here.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Although she doesn't, I mean, is she claiming she didn't do it?
Yes.
So maybe you wouldn't be lying. Maybe you could say, oh, I just remembered that incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there a chance you did remember it incorrectly?
Well, see, here's the thing. The way you just said that reminds me that you are actually an actress. You know, I am not. I mean, I'm so talented, and certainly I'm so lovely, but I'm just not an actress. I would have a hard time with that. I'm going to do my best, though. With your encouragement, I'm going to do my best. I'll address my mother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, I must have you confused with someone else. It must have been someone else who told me to change lanes rapidly and try to make it up the on-ramp ahead of the other cars. It must have been someone else, and I am so sorry that I misrepresented you.
You could do that. Or another thing you could do, go out driving with your mother and go and cut someone off, but stop and then uncut them off and undo the entire action so nothing ever happened. And then apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just too complicated. Well, I mean, obviously you didn't think my first attempt was very good. So,
what,
how about
apology?
This one? How about this? Mother.
You could just, yes.
I'll just, let's just say, like, how about
this? Do you want to role play a little bit here?
No, I just want to speak to my actual mother. Okay. So I'm just going to say to her now. Mother, just once again, I think I was confused about things, and clearly you would have never encouraged me to do anything as a driver that would be rude to others on the road. And I'm sorry that I misrepresented you that way. And, please forgive me. Okay. So how is that?
You laughed. You had the insincere little snigger in there. I think you're going to have to go for the straight apology. No misrepresentation.
Okay.
Just sorry,
right.
Mom. Look, dude, Mom, sorry. Yeah, just
mother,
straight up apology.
Mother, I am sorry I made you angry. How's that?
Perfect. I mean, perfect, but just build it up a little more.
Right. Mother, I'm so sorry I made you angry.
I meant more words. Just sit down and talk to your mother.
Oh, no. See, I humiliated her in public. So now I'm supposed to humiliate myself in public. Don't you understand? You know what I mean?
Okay, so apologize and then say something embarrassing about yourself.
I do that every single show. I don't have to
do
that.
Do it again!
No, but here is the other thing, you know, and I think we've devoted far too much time to this, but there was one more piece of unmother-friendly content in that show. I told people that she likes to eat cake. Really, I told the entire audience that Claudia likes to eat cake.
Did she have a problem with the French Revolution?
No, I mean, I think her problem was it just sounded, she did think it sounded decadent. She said, why couldn't you have said that I like coffee cake so that people would be more understanding of me eating cake?
Wow.
You see the dilemma.
Is there anything wrong with eating cake?
I didn't think so. I did not think so. You know, when I said that my mother likes to eat cake, I didn't say it as any sort of hostile act. In fact,
I think cake is delightful.
I do, too. I think I actually said it proudly. Like, you know, here is a woman who has decided that it's okay to eat cake. You know,
Absolutely. She's
at a point in her life where eating cake is what, you know, she wants to. It's kind of like George Bush the first, who did not want to eat broccoli. My mother has decided to eat cake, and I think that's great. But it wasn't vulgar, and it was something I thought was great, but it was mother-unfriendly content.
Oh.
I think I'll just apologize and we'll move on. Mother,
at this point, you know what? I think it's the only thing you can do. At this point, with mothers, when you live, you know, you're remote from her, just apologize.
What I'm going to say is, Mother, I am so sorry I told everyone that you eat cake. And to show you how sorry I am, I'm going to drop by the bakery this afternoon on my way over to your house and pick up a cake for you.
Perfect. A coffee cake.
Absolutely. A coffee cake. So, Paula, you started with the video when you were in junior high, I think.
Before that.
Really?
When I was but a spore. My dad has my whole life on Super 8. I mean, my whole life up until, you know, when digital video came out. He has rolls and rolls and rolls and stacks of Super 8 film in their basement in Gloucester. he has every single one of my birthday parties. He has me, I used to ride horses, and he has me every single horse show I went to. He has me and my friend in the backyard pretending we're horses, jumping over the lawn furniture. I mean, every stupid thing I did, he has Super 8 footage of. And a lot of that has been, converted to video. Piano recitals, I mean, the stupidest stuff.
Well, even at my advanced age, which is 20 minutes older than you are, my parents also had the movie camera. You know, it was just one of those things. But you yourself, what interests me is my understanding that at a certain point, you yourself decided to become a video producer and director. And so when was that?
That was, that was around college. I was about probably 18. And I would make people walk around and film me. Again, I thought it was the most wonderful thing ever, but it was just me guiding people to brunch on Sundays and everyone was hungover and I was, this is how you make an omelet between two bagels, but I was always quite a ham. For some reason, people would do as I said. And in actual life, I wasn't a dictator, but whatever wacky ideas I would have about filming, they would just do it. And
here's my question.
Sure.
So now we are hearing a lot, and I think we're hearing it because it's the truth, but I want to kind of put it into perspective. We're hearing a lot. Video is the coming thing. Video is the big thing. Video is the big deal. Weren't they saying that at the time as well?
Oh, they're always saying something is a big deal. I mean, video is a big deal. I mean, TV is still a big deal. Everything's a big freaking deal. Anything's a big deal if you make it a big deal. As long as it's good.
I agree with that, but I'm not being clear, I suppose. Now we are hearing, let's face it, YouTube is a phenomenon. And it's only 5 years old. You know,
That's incredible, actually. That is incredible.
It is incredible. But one of the things that is also true, if we think about it, and it comes to my mind very clearly as I view your video of the song we just played, and it's really only from a few years ago. But do you remember, of course you do, when MTV came on the scene, and at that time there was the belief that you could not be a rock star, you could not be a band without having a video of every song. Every song had to have a video. And that was the belief, and it was a staunch belief. And MTV could not have been bigger. And we were transfixed by it, and we watched it, and we just, loved it and could not believe it. And then suddenly it was over,
It's funny, because the two are separate entities now. You can absolutely be a rock star and not have videos or have them, but they're just, mutually exclusive now.
Well, right. And now the issue is you can have a video and you may want to have a video and you maybe should have a video, but you are working to find an audience for it. Whereas just a few years ago, it was such a big deal that we would all sit and watch music videos and people don't do it in the same way.
I lived in the tiny town. We were like one of the last ones to get cable. I was about, 8 years old, and I would go, I'd try and make friends with the cool kids who lived in the cool town so I could go over and watch MTV with them. And you'd think I was a popular kid, but I wasn't. I was just an MTV mooch.
An MTV
mooch. But I really liked you. Oh, I loved you. If you're listening, I did love you, but you don't care because I was a dork. But anyway, so because of YouTube now, though, anybody and their goat can make a video. And not everybody should. I mean, I don't believe that people should be or, should feel or should feel inhibited about doing things they want to do. But you watch some of the stuff up there, and it's just deadly. I mean, some people just make videos, hi, I don't know what to say, and, well, I'm going to go and get, a knife and chop some carrots now, and okay, bye. So who
well,
wants to see that?
It is fascinating. It really is.
Yeah.
Just to see the gamut of what is on YouTube. And one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about is this whole concept that anyone, surely it's possible, YouTube makes it possible for anyone to be on video. Inexpensive and readily available video cameras make it possible for anyone to be on video.
Yes.
Most laptops have a video cam built into them, so it can certainly happen. And then there are those who are urging people to do video marketing who will tell you that everyone should be on video. And
not so.
Well, I so agree, but talk about that a minute.
Just because, and this holds true for so many things. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you ought to do something. This is why we have professionals. People, just because you can write a song doesn't mean you should. Just because you can write a poem doesn't mean you should. Am I plugged into the... Okay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, my headphones just came out of the jack for a minute. Just because you can plug your headphones into your computer and talk on Skype doesn't mean you should. Okay, you need to... I mean, if you have a product, or if people are saying you have to have a video for your product, and you are boring on camera, for the love of God, hire someone who's interesting to speak for you. Because you, and it has nothing to do with how good looking you are. You could be just like the most beautiful person in the world and still be so boring. You know,
well,
it's, you either have it or you don't.
The fact of the matter is, since YouTube has changed the world in that respect, and anyone can get on camera and does. We are a little more accustomed to seeing a variety of different physical types on video. But
yeah.
It goes back to a time when I was in college getting my undergraduate degree in communications, and video conferencing was just first coming into its own, and one of our professors, who was not terribly good looking, came up with a concept he called video nerd. And what his position was that since we were all so accustomed to seeing beautiful people on TV. Unless you were actually beautiful, you looked bad. You looked like a video nerd just in comparison. I think that's changed somewhat. But
yeah, definitely.
one of the things that I have noticed is several people who get on video, and it does hurt their credibility because they don't look sharp. They just don't look sharp. They're not well-dressed. They're not well-lit. And for a professional to go on video in such a casual way with so little care about how they present themselves seems like a very big mistake.
Yeah. I mean, don't be stupid.
But here's the question for you. You are in a completely different position because somehow, for some reason, the camera really seems to love you. It really does. And I'm always fascinated by it when I see your videos because you have this little thing going on where you're literally almost flirting with the camera. That's how it looks to me.
Well, the camera and I have a very special relationship. I don't wish to discuss my personal life on this show.
But you know what I'm talking about. You're bound to know.
Ever since I've been a kid, I've been a natural performer. And which is weird because I was a very shy kid. I think that had more to do with my home life, not to get to psychoanalysis here, because once I went away from home and, you know, met more people, I opened up and the floodgates happened and now you can't shut me up. But yeah, I mean, I always knew I was going to do something in the creative arts. So, yeah, I just, you know, okay, yeah, I can talk in front of a camera. The camera does not intimidate me. One thing, though, and some people, too, you put, I mean, they're articulate, this golden words, mellifluous voices. You put a microphone in front of them, and they clam up. You know, some people take a class, plenty of public speaking courses out there, acting classes, you know, that's why they have them. So you can, you know, even if you're not naturally charismatic, there are things you can do. But, you know, but there's only so much you can do. And if you don't want to go through all that, it's okay. There are people who, you know, that's why they make spokespeople. That's why they have the spokesperson factory, and you can go there and get a spokesperson. But one thing also is do not fear the edit button in, you know, whatever system you use, you know, iMovie or Final Cut. Or edit. Just do it. You know,
now
you're
that's
boring.
Very good. Yeah. That's very good advice. But let me go back. Let me delve into this a little bit and see if I can seduce you into giving us some actual tips and answers.
Mm-hmm. I'm not about seduction.
I know you're not. So are you saying, am I hearing you right, that you think one key to it is the fact that you're just completely comfortable in front of the camera? That one reason that you're so good and the camera loves you. You're just, you have a comfort level?
I think so. I think of it as just furniture. I don't look at it and look at it as this machine, this intimidating how kind of thing. It doesn't scare me.
Okay. It doesn't scare you, but here is what I want to know. Do you purposely do anything to permit yourself to project? Do you think about it in a certain way? Are you aware that you are playing to the camera?
I'm aware that I'm performing. I don't think that... I don't think that it's a real departure from my personality, but it might be more, it's like my personality, but a little bit more. It's like doing improv comedy, like the movie I was in. Well, I was playing a character then, but it's like you're on, so you try and be a little more than what you usually are. I mean, just, you know, you hang out with me, I'm going to be a little bit goofy. Unless we're having a very serious discussion over scotch and a crackling fire, but which I'm capable of doing. But, yeah, no, I'm aware. I'm aware of it.
Well, how important do you think it is to be prepared and know exactly what you're going to say. How do you come down on that usually?
Yeah, it is important to have a sketch of what you're going to be talking about. I don't like to have a script. I like to improvise because that's where the best stuff happens, I think. Going into it cold is tough. So, yeah, no, with Ask PK, I look over the questions. I get a little idea, and then I run with it. With the movie Smoked, we had, like, just scenes. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. I invented that character, Barbara, from South Boston. So, you know, she had 5.5 kids. And, I mean, but, yes, yeah, so we knew what the situation was going to be. You know what the question is going to be. And then you go with it.
Do you use anything, even though you're not using a script, do you use anything like a teleprompter with an outline?
No teleprompters. No. No. No, I don't. I don't. But I also, I don't have a sensor, censor, in my brain. I just let it go, as you know. So I'm shameless.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I think you revealed to us, since you do believe in judicious edits, that, and since you have the ability to do that, that permits you to be a little free and easy. A lot of people who are making videos don't have the ability to edit, at least seemingly so. And so they're trying to do something that they can run straight through and come out with a decent result. But you think it's better to actually conquer that editing software or get a good video editor in order to get a good result, correct?
You know, I'm talking about my ideal. I've done voiceovers before, and I have read from scripts, and there is a way, when you're reading from a script, I live by the Burbank Airport, and you can probably hear that airplane right now, but it's gone. When you're reading from a script, the most important thing is to get the acting right, to get the feel of the line right, and then get the character down. I think with the acting, will out the feel of the line or what essence they actually bring to it. And without that, there's just some boring dude reading the line.
So, Paula, you mentioned this movie that you starred in recently, which was a fake reality show comedy that was improvised, and I've seen clips from it. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the entire movie. I want to. So tell me how I might accomplish that. Where does that production stand in terms of its distribution?
Well, the film it's a mockumentary called Smoked, The Chaotic Reality. I was in it, and I also scored the film. And the last I heard, it had gotten distribution from an independent film company, and will be doing the festival circuit. Also, it is going to be posted as a series on, I believe, YouTube, and I was just sent the URL by the director and the producer, and I will send you the link, and we can put that on up there.
Well, wonderful. I just assumed it would come out in a DVD as well. Is that, do you know anything about that?
Well, I have a DVD, but I can, yeah, I'm sure it will, and I can get the scoop on that.
Well, it is.
You think I know anything? I was in the movie. I don't know anything.
Well, you know what? You're not so different than any other movie star. You know, you just leave all that stuff to the producers and the distributors, and, you know, you're busy doing the star.
Nobody in the industry knows anything that's going on. It's a big farce. Nothing's going on. People just act like something's going on all the time.
Well, speaking of what's going on, what are you working on these days?
I am working on a string arrangement for a very special group of people right now. And I mean special. I just finished composing a song for some people in Boston. I am going to do another Ask PK. I just had a Paula Kelly Orchestra performance at Spaceland about a week and a half ago, which was fabulous. And, you know, various sundry things.
Well, that is wonderful. I did not realize that the Paula Kelly Orchestra was intact, but...
Yeah, in fact, I'm almost done recording another album, so hopefully by the end of the year, that'll be out.
Oh, well, that's fabulous. And?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get that darn thing out, because I've been trying to finish it, but with all my other projects, it's just been like... You know, the things that pay me have to come first so I can
live
my house.
You know, the glamorous life of a rock star, but here's what I want to know. So this album that you hope to have out by the end of the year, it obviously is going to have several songs. Are these songs that you have written in the last year, last 3 years, last 5 years? How does that work?
Yes, yes, and yes. Some are incredibly new. Some, my last album was 2003, but I did put out an EP in 2008. So, and yeah, I've written songs since, so it's going to be a smattering. But we recorded them at the same time, so there will be cohesion.
Well, one of the things that listeners know, because I talk about it all the time, is that Paula was actually the producer of my comedy divorce CD. And not only that, it features one of her songs from an earlier CD, and we licensed it for use on KK's Divorce, and it's actually the subtitle, I'd Fall in Love with Anyone. And it is my belief, because I am very vain, that she wrote it for me, even though she didn't know me at the time that she wrote it and she recorded it. So I'm just curious if you've written me another song.
I think you're going to have to tell me, Kay.
Well, I can't wait. I can't really, I hope you do crank that out this year. I can't wait to hear your new work. And it's been so much fun to talk with you today. I am so sorry for the way that the show started. What a disaster. Paula, guess who's going to be next week's featured guest?
I can't hazard a guess.
It was actually a very mean question, but I'm very excited about it, and I think you might be too, and I think a lot of listeners will be, because she is someone that many of them know, and that is... What?
The girl pie?
No, not the girl pie, but someone who is certainly fabulous, and that is Lil Pecan, Emma Devlin.
Awesome.
So, you know, it's going to be Lil Pecan's speaks. So we can't wait for that. Paula, thanks again for coming by today. And I'm about to play the outro, so I'll hear your opinion later. Bye.
Okay, thanks.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guests,